Hey, everybody. Thanks for taking the time to listen to this podcast from Forest City North Church. We're a church in London, Ontario. And our hope is that this message that you're listening to will have an impact on your life. I encourage you to grab a coffee, make yourself a tea, sit back, and enjoy this message. A few weeks ago, we were actually having a conversation in our programming meeting, which is the meeting which we put the services together for Sunday mornings, and we were talking about the fear of death. And I looked at the team and I said, you guys got anything? You know, like, have you got any ideas on the fear of death? And so none of them did. And so I turned to Anthony and I said, Anthony, do you have anything on the fear of death? Now, you need to know, Anthony is on staff with us here. He's a super educated, really super smart guy. He's got letters behind his name. He's like just so smart and intelligent. And he says, I got nothing. And I thought, I've surrounded myself with these people. Like, seriously. Like, come on, you got to give me something on this topic of fear of death. And then he goes, oh, I got something. He says, there's a Jerry Seinfeld clip. And I'm like, really? Is this what you're coming up with? A Jerry Seinfeld? And then I watched it. Check this out. Oh, man, I thought Anthony's a genius. I thought he is so smart. You know, how many of you have a fear of public speaking? Yeah. Some of us do. Some of you are lying. Yeah, you know what? I would agree with that. I would probably agree with the fact that many of us would rather be in a casket than doing what I'm actually doing right now, is standing in front of you. And I, you know, I was actually talking to Kath just before we, during the service here, and I said, you know, we were talking about fear of public speaking, and it's true. There's a sense of me even can identify with that I understand that fear, because I live in that fear sometimes of that fear of public speaking. We've been in this great series on no fear. And I am amazed at the response to this series. We've been touching on things that have really spoken into the sweet spot of many people because fear grips many of us. We talked about the fear of failure a few weeks ago. Fear of failure is that moment and that time in our lives where we're afraid that other people may know that we're not perfect. That we step into a moment that we may fail at and it might reveal that we have imperfections. And so we shy away from those moments afraid because we got to uphold the image that we've got it all together. We've got everything just perfect in our lives. And it's kind of driven by this idea that if they find out, then they might reject me. Or there might be shame associated with that, which is directly connected to our self-worth and our ego and our identity. And so we shy away from it. We don't go near failure at all because it's too scary. It's a place of vulnerability and authenticity and transparency. So we just stay away from it. And so we talked about this idea of changing our mindset so that fear is not attached to something that defines who we are and failure doesn't define us. And then we talked about fear of the future. The what if game, right? That what if game that we play scenarios out. What if this happens and what if that happens? What if the doctor calls and actually says it is serious? What if I don't get into the school that I want to get into? What if I don't find that person to spend the rest of my life with? What if I'm sat down by my favorite person in the world and I'm told it's not you, it's me? We have these fears that come from this idea of the future. And so we talked about this beautiful image that comes from the Bible. It helps us understand that when we attach ourselves to God, that he can give us the strength to journey into that sphere. But when we get to the future, he's already there. And so we looked at Joshua 1, where we talked about attaching ourselves to be strong and courageous. That we don't have to fear the future. That we can come into it with confidence and courage. See, one of the things that's emerging for us in this conversation is that do not be afraid is something that we see over and over and over again in the Bible. Matter of fact, about 145 times it comes out of the scriptures kind of defined like this. Do not be afraid. There's this great little verse that if you're here for the first time, I hope that you'll write it down and kind of maybe even memorize it. It's found in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. It says that God has not given us the spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. God looks at you and he says, I do not want you to live in fear. I've not given you a spirit of fear. I've given you a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. This is the design that God wants for every single one of us. The image, the picture. But we know that not all fear is bad, right? I think we need to introduce that to the conversation this morning. Not all fear is bad. There's some fear is necessary. A few years ago, my wife and I were on an all-inclusive vacation with my aunt and uncle, and we went to a little island called San Andreas. I don't know if you've ever heard of it or been there. It's real super tiny. It's like 21 kilometers around. Like, it's not very big. And we got on the resort, and we made some friends with some other people, and we started hearing about this place to go see. I think it was like crocodiles or something. And we're like, sounds interesting. So we went, and we got a taxi, and the six of us went, and they dropped us off, and we went down the beaten path. We were off the beaten, we went to the section that was like jungle. And you're told when you go to these places, don't get off the beaten path. Stay where it's somewhat safe. And as we're walking down this path, it was really super strange. There was all these people coming out of the jungle. It was like Lord of the Flies, It was like, wow, what's going on here? And our fear kicked in. It started, you could feel it pinging inside of us. And we're like, something's not right in this moment. The one guy that we had made friends with from the resort started faking like he was sick. He was awesome. He was faking sick. And so we're like, we're out of here. He's sick. We got to go. If you're going to cross a busy highway and cars are ripping by or a busy road in London, man, you better have a certain level of fear. Or you're going to get run over. If you come across a wild animal in the woods like we do, us city people, you better have a certain level of fear. But we're not talking about that fear, are we? We're talking about a completely different fear. We're talking about a fear that for some of us has become the background noise of our lives. A fear that keeps us from venturing into new things, discovering dreams, discovering what God has placed inside of us. It impacts our relationships. It impacts our ability to love. It impacts our future. It impacts our journey with God. And it even impacts us discovering what our greatness is that God has placed in every single one of us. It pulls us back from the good that God wants us to do. And so we've been talking about how do we navigate this? How do we walk through this? It's not eliminating the fear. It's illuminating a path to walk through it. And some of you have been dialed in on this, and some of you are beginning to understand how to walk and dance with it in a way that brings new life. Well, this morning, I want to talk about the fear of death. And I said earlier in our opening comments this morning in our service that it's not a real pick-me-up. It's like, when was the last time you were at a party and you're like, can we just talk about death? Everyone's going to like get away from you, right? But I think we need to have this conversation this morning. And what I want to do with you for the next few minutes is I want to enter into the conversation and I want to pick it apart a little bit. I'm going to speak about some of the realities of our lives, speak into our lives a little bit, and then I'm going to present a truth to you. And then at the end, you're going to have an opportunity to maybe respond if you feel kind of compelled to do that. So let's talk about this. Death is inevitable, right? It's like, duh, It's still at about 100%, right? You just can't get around it. Death is part of our lives. I love what Richard Rohr says. He says that life and death are not separate. They're of the whole. We can't avoid it. But we try. Many of us live our lives trying to push it away from us, right? It's why we maybe exercise a bit more than other people. It's maybe why we eat healthy. It's maybe why we buy anti-aging creams, because we're trying to push death. I thought that would have been a whole lot funnier, that aging cream thing, but it's like, whew. Anyway, we want to push it away from ourselves. We want to avoid it as much as possible, because we all know we're walking towards it. We're born to die. Every single day, you're moving towards that moment. Everything has a lifespan. You think about the brand new car you're driving. It's one day going to end up in a square box of steel, or the home that you just purchased is going to be dilapidated one day. That new puppy you just got, okay, we can't go there. Some of you are like, oh, yeah, I've walked that path. I know what it's like. So, but we all have that moment. See, it doesn't matter how rich you are or how poor you are. It doesn't matter how educated you are or uneducated you are. It doesn't matter if you have lots of friends or no friends. It doesn't matter if you have a three-car garage or no garage. People are going to gather at the end of your life and talk about you. And they're going to eat triangular-shaped sandwiches. It's the only legal time you're allowed to eat triangular-shaped sandwiches at funerals. Because the truth is, we're all moving towards that moment and that time. The thing that emerges for us, though, when we think about that reality that I've just reminded you of, it's the what then? What then? What's on that other side? What happens? Is there an eternity? Is there a heaven? Is there a hell? What takes place after that? See, I think that the fear of death is attached to the fear of uncertainty. For some of us, we're just not sure. And so we go through life wondering and questioning and asking ourselves, what then? We know to a certain degree, and I'm going to make a broad statement with this. We know to a certain degree, and we have a general sense that there is an afterlife. Generally speaking, we sense it, you know. You go to a funeral, and you'll hear people talk about the one that's deceased. They're up there looking down. Or they'll say, now you have a guardian angel. Did you hear the story this week on the radio of a family in Michigan that earlier this year, the dad had passed away? I don't know if you heard about this. And the mom was trying to figure out what to do with the little ones at Father's Day. And the mom decided to have the kids write a letter and attach them to balloons to send them up to him. I'm like trying not to cry driving off the road, you know, because I've walked that path personally. And so I'm like, oh man, this is heart-wrenching. The balloons landed in a town not far from here in Ontario. And a guy goes out in the morning and finds the balloons, and there's a letter attached to it, and he opens it up, and now this thing begins to unfold, and now the people in Ontario and the people in Michigan begin to talk, and the radio had them talking together. It was really cool. And then the mom said something. The woman from Michigan said something. We believe that the kid's dad directed the balloons to them. You agree or disagree, I don't care. There is this sense inside of us that there is something else. And here's the thing I want to present to you. This idea of that feeling of there is something else, the afterlife, is actually placed there by God. I got to read it for you. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, written by this guy named Solomon, says this: yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart, but even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. Feel that? I mean, God placed in every single heart what? Eternity. You are an eternal being. You are created by an eternal God to be an eternal being. That's that sense. We get that glimpse every once in a while. It kind of refers to it here. You get that glimpse every so often. Have you ever been part of something and you just feel so alive? It's like, man, this is so good. It's a conversation with someone. It's an interaction. It's a purchase. Whatever it is, you just know in that moment there's nothing better than just right here. And then it begins to fade. I believe that that's a snippet of eternity that we're experiencing that moment. Do you know that feeling that you have every so often? That, man, there's kind of something missing, you know, in my life. And so you go on a search to try to satisfy that, and you can never really find that thing that satisfies it. That is eternity pinging in your soul. God placed eternity within each and every single one of us. And for whatever reason, every once in a while, we get a glimpse of it. We get a feel of it. And it brings the question up into our minds. What then? What then? See, I think it's important questions to be asking ourselves, that we step back and we kind of just do a reality check. We kind of go, okay, death is part of our lives. It's inevitable. We can't avoid it. If we are eternal beings, then where did death come from? Have you ever sat back and wondered that? You know, sipping coffee, you know, you're like, where did death come from? See, death was never part of the original plan. See, we were created by a God, a loving God, who wanted to be in union with his creation. He wanted to be in connection and intimacy with humankind. That was the design that God had for every single human being at creation. But in this moment in creation, there's this dude named Adam. The Bible doesn't call him a dude. I just call him a dude. And Adam looks at God and he says, you know what? I got this. I can do this on my own. And he disobeys God. And in this moment, something enters into the equation and it's called death. Look at Romans 5:12 on the screen. It says, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. When Adam looked at God and said, you know, I got this, I could do this on my own, it wasn't an oops, my bad. It wasn't like, whew, slipped up. This was a catastrophic moment that broke the relationship with God. Death entered into the picture. Died spiritually, died physically. There's this element of understanding that everything in that moment was severed between humankind, creation, and God. You can blame mosquitoes on this moment. Some of you are like, what? It's in this moment where we realize that this is something that God did not design, that God did not want for us, but yet we also step back and realize that this thing called death, broke the heart of God. And how we know that is by looking at the life of Jesus. See, Jesus, for us, radiates the character of God. You want to know God, you got to know Jesus. When you look at Jesus, you see God. And there's this moment in Jesus' life where he stands before a tomb of his friend Lazarus. And he stands there before the tomb, and the scriptures teach us that he cries, he weeps. There's something deep within inside of him that's moved to express itself through weeping. And it's weeping, yes, probably because he lost his friend, but even more so, it gives us a glimpse into the heart of God where God did not want this to be part of life. That God did not want this to be part of our experience. And we see this beautiful moment exposing the heart of God and how he feels about death for each and every one of us. So we're looking at this and we're kind of moving some pieces around. And we're kind of looking at it through the lens of, okay, death is inevitable. That's something that we're all tracking towards. And if we are eternal beings and there is death that's been introduced, then we have to ask the question, what's the solution? What's the answer to this? What's the answer to this situation? Well, guess what? The Bible actually gives us the answer. It gives us incredible answer to the question of what then? Let me read it for you. It's found in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. It says this. Because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death. Only in this way could he set free all who lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. Oh, I mean, this passage has got lots in it. Some really smart people write lots of books about these two verses. But I think the simplicity of the approach of this moment is to recognize that God saw a situation, that God saw our condition, and he says, I got to do something about it. And so we see in this image, in this picture, that Jesus, the Son, came, took on flesh and blood. And it was a necessary piece to this process of restoring us into a right relationship with God. It was necessary for him to take on flesh and blood to become our substitute. God is a just God, and he deserved payment for this separation and this sin and this death. And so he says, guess what? I am going to take this on myself. I am going to come into the world. I'm going to identify with humanity. I'm going to walk this earth, and I'm going to go to a cross. And I'm going to go to a cross in a way that's going to take care of the death and sin issue. Something that we cannot do on our own. See, sometimes we approach the what then, and we think, man, I just hope that I'm good enough that God might just welcome me in. You know, I hope that I've done enough religious things that God will kind of look at me and say, you're a pretty good fella. Come on in. Or sometimes we have these irrational thoughts about, you know, we're going to be met at some pearly gates and there's an entrance exam and we're going like, what? See, in this moment, we see that the Son took on flesh to break the power of sin and death to free people from its power. This is a moment that sets aside for me in my heart and my mind that I love about the Christian faith. I'm so incredibly overwhelmed with this wonderful truth that God came to us. We were going to be celebrating Christmas in just a few weeks. Even saying that, break out in a rash, but anyway. It's the celebration of God coming to us. He's not looking at us going, you know what? I just want you to be super religious. I want you to be super good. I want you to be, it's not, no, no, no. He says, I'm going to come to you. And I'm going to take care of this. Now, what's interesting about this, and what I think is a critical piece to this as we unpack this, is that sin and death have power. It talks about being a slave. It becomes our master, and we become a slave to it. But Jesus came to break that, to give us the assurance that one day we will enter into his presence with the fullness of a restored body and soul, not based on anything that we have done, but only based on what Jesus has done for us. And the beautiful thing about this truth that is emerging from our conversation this morning is that the tomb that Jesus was buried in is now empty. That the tomb is empty. I've actually been to Israel and been to the traditional spot where they believe that Jesus' body was buried. And to step into that moment and to see the empty tomb is a powerful truth where we begin to realize that this power is available to us, not only to help us step into the what then, into eternity, into the presence of God, but there's a beautiful thing emerging that the power of the empty tomb is the power that enables us to live free now. That there is a freedom available to us now so that we can journey through life with certainty of who Jesus is. And that through this, we begin to recognize the power that that can change our lives. There's a verse in Romans chapter 5, verse 17. It says, for the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all to receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus. Live in triumph over this. You don't have to be defeated. You don't have to be discouraged. You don't have to live with uncertainty. You can live now with the certainty of understanding this wonderful truth and this power that's available to you even in this moment. I love the word receive. It's this idea of taking it in. We see that Jesus offers to us his grace and the gift of standing right before God, but then he also, this idea of receiving is taking this truth in. It's like we take food in that nourishes us, that sustains us. This is a truth that does the same thing to our souls and to our hearts. It's the beautiful image of the power at work. So this power is available to us that can mend relationships, it can break addictions, it can calm anxiety, it can help you to forgive others, it can turn good to bad, it can take wholeness, it can bring wholeness out of brokenness, and it can bring joy out of pain. See, yes, we're all moving towards this what then moment, but the beautiful thing is you can step into the what then with a full assurance of the offer that Jesus gives to us, to says, I've taken care of it because of what I've done for you. As I was thinking about this morning and reflecting on this, I realized what's emerging through the cracks of this conversation even more is that this is a story of love. It's a story of God's love for us. This past week, I was at the Alpha course. We have about 35 people from our church that are and from the area that are taking it at our office. And I sat and watched a video this week kind of on this topic. And there was an image that came through the teaching of what's referred to as the prodigal son. And it was an abstract piece of art that displayed the actions of the father receiving the prodigal son. And I looked at this moment, and I was watching this video, and I turned to the person beside me, and I was like broken. I was like, oh man, I didn't know I needed Kleenex for this thing. And I guess for me this morning, what I'm so wanting you to grab is that this truth is available for every single one of us today. That there is a God who loves you enough to say, I'm coming for you. I'm going to take on flesh and blood. I'm going to be the perfect, spotless sacrifice for you. I'm going to go to a tomb. I'm going to resurrect so that you can have power to live now, but also in eternity. And this is a story of love. And I guess the only thing that remains to ask is this. Will you take it in? Will you let the story of Jesus become your story? So that you can live without fear of dying. When we embrace this and receive this and take it in, the what then moment is a father embracing his child saying, welcome home. Welcome home. As we close our service, I want you to listen to this song. And if you've never come to that place where you've taken it in, I just want to encourage you to think about that and allow God by His Spirit to work in you as you listen to this closing song. Will you take it in? Let's stand together. I heard this quote this week that fear puts boundaries on our freedom. And I couldn't help but think about how Jesus came to set us free from the fear of death. My hope this morning is that you found some hope and some truth that you can walk away with today with the assurance and the certainty of the what then. Next week, we're going to talk about the fear of God. There is lots of confusion around that phrase, and we're going to give some clarity to it. So I hope you come back. Bring a friend or two. As we expose the fear of God and how we can live with that fear in a proper way. Let me say a prayer. God, thank you for today. It has been really good to be together this morning. And thank you for these truths that we've been able to explore. And Father, even this morning, I recognize that each and every one of us are on our own journey of faith. We're either in that stage of our lives where we're exploring and we're uncertain, and we're not even aware if you exist. So God, I pray that you would take these things and meet us in that space. I know there's others of us, God, who have just allowed our faith to become mundane and routine, and in some ways taken advantage of our faith, and we've neglected the freedom that is ours. So God, I pray that you would infuse us with that freedom today. Remind us of the power and the victory and the triumph that is ours. Thank you that Jesus removes the sting of death. So God, we give this to you. We pray that as we leave this space, that you would continue to have this conversation with us. God, help us not only to be great listeners, but great doers of the things that we have heard today. We give this to you in Jesus' name. Amen.